This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
We continue to check in with what's happening in Salem as the Oregon State Legislature with a full session, a full-length session this year. State Senator David Brock Smith with us normally on Monday afternoons. David, thanks for being on today.
Thank you, Kyle. Appreciate the opportunity, as always.
So what would you say are the highlights or maybe the lowlights from what took place in Salem in the past week?
Oh, it's a busy week. It's hard to keep track of everything that's happening in the House. We had a memorial bill for my dear friend and colleague who was the lead on creating the Oregon Anglers Alliance. Over 60,000 people in that group who passed away last summer. So we're having a Senate joint memorial to remember him. We had one of my bills, Senate Bill 490, to raise the corporate activity tax to a $5 million threshold rather than a $1 million threshold to really help. Of course, that was passed in 2019, and it's devastating the business. It just adds a pyramid scheme to tax, right? I mean, we've talked about the corporate activity tax or what they call the CAT tax before. We had a piece of legislation I'm co-chair sponsoring, of course, with Representative Graber. And you remember former Representative Goodwin and the work that the commissioners did in Roseburg and Douglas County with the unclaimed veterans' remains. So we were able to pass legislation in 23 that really helps deal with those heroes that lie unclaimed in our crematoriums across the state. Of course, when we got the bill passed, there was some implementation language missing, and so this is going to allow the department to move forward, which we're happy about. I spoke against a number of bills, but one of which was Senate Bill 702 that would ban flavored nicotine in the state of Oregon. It's a horrible piece of legislation. It would cost the our Oregon Health Authority over $220 million. We've already raised the tobacco age, nicotine sale age in this state to 21. And so moving forward with something like this is just not sound policy because individuals will just then go and purchase them illegally on the internet where they're not regulated, and you could get some really bad stuff in there. And so I'm hopeful that bill, even though I'm just getting countless emails supporting it, will not move forward, and we're pushing back hard on that. Senate Bill 916 is something that is another piece of horrible legislation. Essentially, it's being pushed by the AFL-CIO union. And, we have unemployment insurance in this state where our private companies pay into unemployment. Our public employees or public employers, school districts, municipalities, and so forth, they're more on a reimbursement situation. The unions are trying to double dip and double down, where Senate Bill 916 would allow for unions that decide to go on strike, many of which depending on how long they're striking, would still be paid while they're striking, but 916 would then allow them to collect unemployment as well at the same time. It is a erroneous bill that needs to be stopped. It will impact our school districts. It will impact our hospitals. It will impact every public employer sector, as you can imagine, would be impacted by this. We see the possibility of coordinated strikes. And again, since they don't pay into UI, but they are reimbursed, many of which are they reimburse UI, it's going to impact those school budgets that are already impacted as well. So Senate Bill 916 is a horrible piece of legislation that we're trying to really push back on. And it we did file a minority report on it. It will be, which delays it, but it looks to be coming to the Senate floor a week from today, unfortunately. So I might not be able to be with you at 12:30 next Monday, Kyle, because I feel that we're going to be having some robust debate on that piece of legislation, and I might not be off the Senate floor by 12:30, but we'll see. And then, as you know, I've been long into working on energy policy in this state. You know, I was the House Vice Chair for Energy and Environment, now the Senate Vice Chair for Energy and Environment, and pushing back and help lead the the Republicans a few sessions ago in stopping cap and trade. But we're in a situation where we, back in 1980, banned nuclear and, of course, the nuclear waste in the state. And it's time, especially since we've created, you know, with the help with the U.S. Department of Energy, with some investments in OSU in research, NuScale Power was created out of that in OSU. And we're talking about small modular reactors. In regards to nuclear fusion energy, we're trying to have a conversation. I have two bills in this space, Senate Bill 215 and 216. We had hearings last Wednesday, carried over to today in my Energy and Environment Committee. We're trying to move those forward because it's, you know, even if we were to pass them today, it's all about setting the steps and the stage for planning. Reversing those decisions, you know, that were made 45 years ago, so that we can provide this clean, robust energy for Oregonians, you know, a decade, 15 years from now, because we need to have the conversation and start today. So that's kind of just a little overview of last week and what we've been working on. I mean, the schedule is packed, but I just went back to try to look at a few things that we've done.
Tomorrow night, of course, a meeting regarding the Rock Creek Fish Hatchery and some proposals from the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife. What are you hearing or seeing about those plans? What may be talked about tomorrow night?
No, I appreciate that. So I've been, of course, intimately involved in this discussion with you know, Matt Hill and our folks from the Umpqua Fisherman Enhancement Derby, as well as Director Colbert and Deputy Director Sean Clements. We have legislation that I worked on, that Representative Osborne and I have worked on, that looks to make sure that we maintain the operations that are currently happening at Rock Creek Hatchery. It's Senate Bill 512. And we're hopeful we're going to move the bill down to Ways and Means because it will have through an amendment of $1.3 million fiscal. We had a pre-meeting with that about that last Tuesday, and going over everything. I think the folks in Douglas County will be pleasantly surprised that ODFW is getting it right, and that we're looking at saving Rock Creek Hatchery, making sure there's raceways there, making sure that we have winter steelhead being produced there and in Coal River so that we could have some redundancy. And if we have more opportunities that to keep expanding and bring more more fish into Rock Creek, we will. There will be some investments there in, this is right away, some investments there into some housing units, and then utilizing the fantastic space that survived the fire there. And then so we can make sure that we start bringing school district children there and really making a hatchery learning center and for Douglas County. And then on the other side, the partnership and continued partnership with the Calcourt Band of Indians, working with ODF&W and managing those fish at Rock Creek, as well as looking at what opportunities we can bring for raising fish on the South Umpqua as well. So I'm pretty happy with where we've come, considering that Rock Creek was on the chopping block at the start of the session. Of course, Representative Osborne and our stakeholders pushed back really, really hard against all of that. And so I'm grateful for all the stakeholder engagement, Representative Osborne, and making sure that we're going to get to a place and land at a place that continues operations at Rock Creek, expands the scope, brings in, you know, kind of a learning facility there with a working hatchery. And then, of course, the opportunities to expand more fish in the being reared in the South Umpqua as well.
All right, and that meeting tomorrow night, 6 to 8 o'clock. More when we come back. State Senator David Brock-Smith live from Salem on Inside Douglas County. The interview, a podcast, available after what? At 541radio.com, 1246 at News Radio, 93.9 FM, and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248, Lars Larson at 1. Nick Smith of the American Forest Resource Council talks potential changes to federal timber policy on Inside Douglas County on Tuesday. State Senator David Brock-Smith on live from Salem this afternoon. Want to run through a number of things in the time that we have left here. Spring, obviously, already here and not that far from fire season. Some folks asked over the weekend about how things are looking for the Oregon Department of Forestry in terms of funding and plans for dealing with potential fires, wildfires coming up this summer. What do you know about that?
So, of course, we're always looking to make sure that we have adequate wildland firefighters. We never have enough, especially with the wildfires that just occur in the West, when we always have a problem with funding. Those wildland fires. We, last year alone, it was a $330 million bill. A lot of that is reimbursed through FEMA. However, that can take 2 to 5 years in order to get those reimbursements back. We've talked about this before. My new position is the Council of State Governments West Wildfire and Disaster Preparedness Committee co-chair. We've talked about in the past how we really need the federal government to front load those dollars, the USFS and BLM, so that we can contract with our wildland firefighters and move them into fuels reduction work and logging practices and thinning and prescribed fire and of course, salvage and replanting and bills that I passed in the past to do that, Senate Bill 872 in 2023. We are, you know, working on building a wildland firefighting center down north of Gold Beach, where it's the Rogue Siskiyou Regional Wildfire Training Center. We've got the land, we've got the fund, we've got partial funding to start. We'll probably have a class of about only 30 Type 1 wildland firefighters come out of there this fall. But the idea is to move forward with federal funding there so that we can grow the best wildland firefighters in the state to be used not just in Oregon, but in the entire country, especially the West. So we don't have the wildfire funding that we need. It's been a conversation here in the Capitol, but the governor and I have spoken about it. She wants the wildland firefighter. She wants the wildfire funding to be tied to the wildfire map repeals, and I'm adamantly opposed to that. And to that end, I think that we're going to have the language that we've been working on, myself and Representative Osborne and Representative Boyce and others, back here probably by Wednesday at the latest, so we can move forward with that fix. Of course, today at 5 o'clock is the deadline for those individuals to get their appeal in. I was hoping that we'd have that work done and we'd have this bill at the governor's desk by now, but unfortunately, it was just too difficult to get in there and do that work with Senate Bill 672 that created these wildfire maps, and then Senate Bill 80 that created the appeal process, that it's just taken a little longer than I'd like.
Let's talk about housing. What is happening in Salem regarding the housing shortage, not just at low-income levels, but at all income levels and price points? A lot has been discussed, but have we moved forward at all?
So there's a number of bills moving through the session that try to assist in cutting through some red tape with regards to being able to produce housing. I know that Representative Osborne is working on some legislation specific to Roseburg and the UGB, so he can speak a little more to that. I have a number of pieces of legislation that loosen up that we've had a hearing on 2 weeks ago that would allow more housing on our farm forest land. I mean, I'm not talking about creating subdivisions there, but allowing our landowners that have that land to be able to put an additional home on their property. I'm all for making sure that we have farmland across and forest lands across the state, but it's ridiculous that you have to have 160 acres to have one house. And there's lots of farmers that would love, that want to keep their farms, but they're aging out in this state, and their kids might want to come back and take over as a second career, let's say, but they don't live with their parents, and they should have and have the resources to be able to build that additional house on that property so that they can continue to do that. I mean, we have farmlands and these heritage farms and forests in this state that are critically important that we keep within the family. To that end, we did, and I chief sponsored legislation with Senator Finley in the 23 session that lifted the estate tax on those farm and forest lands to $15 million so that they essentially didn't go broke trying to keep their own land. And so there's some problem with that with the small woodlands. I had the opportunity to speak at the breakfast meeting of the Small Woodlands Association last week, and we discussed this issue. And so I'm going to be working on legislation to fix that issue for our small woodland owners so that they can take full advantage of that $15 million option.
Any impacts being felt yet on recent changes in Oregon drug laws? What are you hearing from law enforcement about this?
So I had a meeting with Senator Przanski last week, as well as the chair of the Criminal Justice Commission, because I have a bill, Senate Bill 881. Frankly, it's ridiculous that the Oregon Accountability Commission that was set up that divvies out the drug treatment dollars that are cannabis tax dollars, they voted last week not to allow any of that to be used for the new diversion deflection program, and they are a dismal failure, as well as the Oregon Health Authority in this space as well. What 881 does is it eliminates OHA it eliminates the AOC, but it also eliminates OHA out of the process. The dollars go directly to the CJC, which Commissioner Douglas County Commissioner Freeman is on and does an excellent job there. The CJC is the Criminal Justice Commission, and then those dollars would go directly to the counties, and upwards of 15% of those dollars can be used for admin and law enforcement. And then, more importantly, the counties then have the opportunity to contract with the service providers or create the MOUs with the service providers for those treatment services, and they can then be held accountable. Because right now, there's really no accountability to where their dollars are going. OHA and the OAC are skimming off the top, essentially. And so we'd have more dollars going to treatment. We'd have support for those programs and our local law enforcement that have to deal with them to get them into treatment. And we would have, again, accountability by our local governments that know our communities best and providing those contracts with the service providers. I'm going to be pushing hard for that piece of legislation to move forward because it's critically important and it gets government out of the way to provide the resources that we need and the accountability that we need to get the services done.
About 45 seconds left. What are your top priorities for the rest of the session?
Well, securing, you know, that $35 million with the accrued interest for our portion, the state's portion, of the third veterans home to be built in Roseburg. I have a number of pieces, you know, of course, the $1.3 million in the legislation to continue the operations, moving out at the Looking Glass, or excuse me, at Rock Creek Hatchery, and a number of things in natural resources and housing issues. So always appreciate the opportunity to join you, Kyle. Thank you.
All right. State Senator David Brock Smith, 1258 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.